the GM of the Calgary Flames. He is Brad Treliving. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you making out today?
We're doing all right. It's a moving day in the bubble. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, we're like the Jeffersons. We're moving on up. We're switching hotels here today. So, yeah, it's a big move day, about a three-minute walk down the way and get moved over and then head out for practice.
Getting used to the bubble life. I mean, these days can be quite long. I'm sure you've watched a lot of hockey. What's it been like now that you've been there for about 13, 14 days?
Well, it's been good. Yeah. I mean, the bubble, I think, probably doesn't really illustrate it's, you know, you got a hotel, you got a rink, and then you got a walkway. So, but the days have been taken up with just watching a lot of hockey. You know, it's been good. There's been, on most days, it's three games a day. Obviously, we've been focused in on our group and all the stuff that we're dealing with. But the rest of the time, the way I illustrated is the first round of the playoffs. I mean, whatever you want to call what we just went through, to me, it felt like the first round of the playoffs is usually the most exciting. And we got to go to all the games in the West, so it was good. You go from no hockey to drinking through a fire hose with hockey, so lots of games and get a chance to reacquaint yourself with the teams around the West. So it's been good.
And of course, on TV, it looks
to talk to you since this whole thing started. What were your impressions of your team in that first qualifying round?
Well, I was really proud of our group, how we played. I know the narrative is that Winnipeg lost bodies, and that's true, and all the rest of it. But all you can play is the team that's in front of you. And I thought we did a really good job of going out and playing a real hard game, making it hard on our opponent. I thought we defended extremely well. I thought we got contributions throughout the lineup, and I think in this time of year, you can't rely on one or two or three guys. You need everybody in, from the goaltender on out, and some guys get a lot of accolades for what they do offensively, and some other guys that are doing a lot of the pick and shovel work. That's not too sexy, but it helps you win, and it makes you win. We had that throughout our lineup. So really good first series. But you park it now. We enjoy it one day, and then we're back to work the next day getting ready for a really good Dallas team. You know, this is a veteran team that's been through it. They're deep. They're they've got top-end talent. They don't give you much. They defend really well. And they got great goaltending, so it'll be a tall task.
Brad, after one of the games, or maybe it was after the series, Mark Giordano said something I haven't heard anybody from the organization kind of admit out loud. Was that, after last year, the lesson was after Colorado that you guys got pushed around. And I know that was a theory that a lot of people had, but I never heard it internally. Do you concur with that now? Can you go public by saying, yeah, you thought that was one of the lessons against Colorado, that you did get pushed around? And to follow that up, is that the way you got to continue to play against a team that's going to definitely try to push you around again?
Well, I don't know what that means, get pushed around. No, I think that's a strange narrative when you say we got pushed around. What were the hits in that series? I think we out-hit them, right? So I think we got skated. I thought we didn't defend at all. I thought we gave up way too many chances. And I thought we just got outmatched. But in terms of pushed around, I don't understand that. I thought in this series here, I thought we've been able to, contrary to popular belief, if we go back over the course of the last 12 months in heavy games, I think we've done pretty well against them. We've had some of the most emotional games in the NHL over the course of the last 12 games. When you look at some of the games with Edmonton and some of the things we've gone through, so. No, I think we've got another year of experience under our belt. I think we've got players that really dug in that series. and really under are starting to appreciate what it takes this time of year. I think we're built a little bit differently, but it's not about getting a whole bunch of new players after we get through last year. It's about our group being able to dig in and respond a certain way, and it's as much mental as it is anything else. And I thought that was the biggest difference between a year ago and what happened the first, you know, the first series or the first round or whatever you want to call it. So, but that's, you know, that's, we've parked that and we've moved on, and the games are only going to get heavier. And, you know, at this time of the year, it's not, you know, it's not, they're not oil paintings. It's hard, heavy, and you need to be able to play hard and heavy hockey. And, especially out west, you know, just look at the teams here. You got to be able to deal with the trench wars, and I think our team's a little bit better equipped to do that this year.
So you kind of alluded to it there, that Battle of Alberta. Games like that were really a really good test for you and a good way for you guys to prepare for the playoffs. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I mean, they're emotional games, but again, you know, I think everybody gets wrapped up into all that sort of stuff when you really dig into what helps you win at this time of the year. Look at the way we defended in this first series as opposed to how we did last year, the amount of chances that we gave up. So I know people want to tie all these narratives onto certain things, but it's being able to lock things down. The intensity of the playoffs, as we all know, is so much different in the regular season. And this format is so unique in the sense that you're going to from 0 to 60, you know, you went from a training camp to, you know, one, you know, exhibition game to right into playoffs. So it's been, you know, you've really had to try to find that level as soon as you possibly can. And so I credit our guys for that, but it only gets harder from here. But certainly some of the experiences we've gone through, I think, have prepared us. The games that we play against Edmonton, those are highly emotional games. And they're games where there's not a lot of room on the ice. You've got to fight for every piece of real estate. And then you also have to be very disciplined. As we've seen through, you know, the first round, I thought if you look back at our series in Winnipeg, you know, it's – yeah, you need to be physical and you need to bring that edge, but you have to do it in a way that you can't be sitting in the penalty box. And I thought in game two of our series, you know, we didn't handle it the smartest way. You know, we took some penalties that put a good power play on the ice and eventually led to the game-winning goal. So I think a lot of the experiences, whether games against Edmonton, a lot of the tight games that we've been played, big games that we've played in over the course of the last year or so, has better equipped and better prepared our team. Now, you know, we've got to apply those lessons, and we've got a very stiff challenge. This is a real veteran team in Dallas. Lots of guys that have been there, done that, top end talent. And so we've got our work cut out for us. No question.
He's Brad Treliving. He's in Edmonton, about to move hotels and moving on up, as he says, to the J-Dub. I'm Eric Francis in Edmonton, and, staying in a far inferior hotel, of course, and he's Will Nault in his basement. I have a question for you, Brad, because we never got your thoughts on the Matthew Tkachuk hit on Mark Scheifele. I'm just going to assume that you saw it a little differently than Paul Maurice did.
Yeah, and you know, I you know, I just felt, quite frankly, I had to bite my lip. Listening to Paul's comments, and Peter Hanlon had me restrained because I did want to comment and protect my player here, but we also understood what Paul was trying to do, right? There's gamesmanship at this time of the year. Nobody wants to see a top player go down, and certainly you never want to see it on your team. And I know the frustration and, you know, the rage that goes through you when that happens. So I get where Paul's coming from in terms of protecting his player, but I disagreed with it. And saying that, I don't know outside of the province of Manitoba if there's a bigger Paul Maurice fan, but I thought he was completely wrong in his assessment of the play. And, you know, I think it was a little bit of gamesmanship at that time of the year. And, you know, I thought it was over the line, quite frankly. So And obviously, everybody agreed as did the league in terms of the play. I get the emotion at this time of the year, but it certainly was, it's an unfortunate play, but certainly nothing that was intentional or, some of the adjectives that Paul used to describe the hit, I would completely disagree with. But, you never want to see top guys go down. Anybody go down. Never mind top guys. You never want to see any player get injured. And certainly that was a factor in the series. We talked about it, two really good players, but, at the end of the day, we play the games that are in front of us against the people that are in front of us. But I understood the emotion of it, but disagreed with the assessment of it.
Okay, now that's a perfect segue for me to ask about, can you just comment on the similarities that you see between the game of Corey Perry and Matthew Tkachuk? I mean, I know they're at different stages of their career, but I think it's pretty clear that a lot of people have drawn, similar conclusions about the two players. Can you kind of comment on that?
Well, both are high-end competitors, right? I mean, both are very, very competitive people. Obviously they played junior in the same location. It's a pretty good junior team. And both won a Memorial Cup. So there has been a similar path, if you will. But both of them play on that edge. Both of them walk that line. But, what probably doesn't get talked enough about for both players, and as you said, Corey's, Corey's been doing this a long time. And I talking with people here after our first series, as you guys know, covering our team every day, what doesn't get talked about Matthew enough is just how good of a player he is. The stuff where he gets caught up and, he plays on the edge, he straddles that line, and it's what makes him unique and what makes him really effective. And you guys know over the years we've never tried to, get him to settle down or whatever you want to do it. That's what makes him a unique player. Now, you want him to stay on the right side of it as much as you possibly can. But what doesn't get talked enough about is just how talented he is. He's got exceptional vision. He's an elite playmaker. He sees the ice. His hockey brain and his hockey smarts are off the charts. And he's got a great set of hands. So, and that's not unlike Corey Perry. Corey Perry, I think, led the league in scoring one year in terms of goals. He can shoot the puck. He's got great vision, great hockey sense. Those guys that play down around the paint, they're hard to contain, but they think the game very, very high level. So, I think they're both going to be, as I call it, right in the fabric of the game, right in the meat, right in the guts of the game. And Matthew's a really important player for us, and Corey will be somebody we have to contend with on the other side. But they're both competitors, and their handprints will probably be all over the series for sure.
Yes, face washes, handprints, whatever you want to call it. Your best line. I'm curious what you look back at that first series and think, what was your best line? I know it was a complete effort, and it's like picking your favorite son or daughter. But can you pinpoint one that you thought was your best line?
I don't know if I'd sit here, Eric, and say here's the best line of the series. I think we had what made us a good team in that series is we had all four lines were contributing in certain ways. So that's what you need this time of year. When you're able to, as an opposition, focus on one line or one player, or, a combination or two players, you become an easier team to defend, an easier team to match. I thought at times, obviously Bennett, Lucic, and Dubé, I thought had a huge impact on the game, and on the series. And sometimes your best line isn't just lines that produce offense, although they did, but I thought they were a handful to deal with. They've got a lot of bite. They can get on a forecheck and make life difficult. They've got speed. And so they've got sort of a combination of everything. I thought they were real good. I thought the backline line, was dangerous. I thought Monty's line, they did their thing and were dangerous. And I thought, you know, our fourth line contributed. You know, those guys in a lot of ways contribute on special teams with penalty killing, but I thought they gave us real good momentum shifts, held pucks in the offensive zone. Again, brought a little bite and speed. So I think everybody contributed, and we're going to need that and more here for the next series.
Okay, final question. I appreciate your time. Johnny Gaudreau left that last game with 4 minutes to go after colliding with Nikolaj Ehlers, holding his right hand. Has he been skating with the team every day since? And do you anticipate he'll start the series?
He's been skating every day. I gave him a good fist bump after the game. I wish I was doing as good as Johnny Gaudreau is right now. He's been doing great, and he's all set to roll. So no issues there. He got a little bit of a stinger, but nothing of any issue. Fight, you know, 2 minutes. He was ready to come back in the game, quite frankly, and then we scored a couple of the empty net goals. But there's no ill effects for sure.